The Doctrine of the Holy Trinity.
Christianity believes that God is a living person, not a material body which is visible or can be touched, neither can it be comprehended by the senses. As Jesus said, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. John chapter 4, verse 24. He is also the Father of the spirits of men, for he created them in his image and in his likeness. We read in the Bible, Then God said, Let us make man in our image after our likeness. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. This God is one person containing three elements, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
When we meditate upon this article of faith, doubtless we confess that we are face to face with a mystery of the deepest kind, a mystery of life and existence. St. Augustine confessed, and after him the great reformer Calvin, that the Latin language, rich as it is in words and beauty, is completely unable to express the depths of this mystery.
One thing is sure, that Christians did not take this belief of the unity in diversity, the Trinity in the Godhead, from any human source, but they have believed in it as a fact, revealed from God, and consistent throughout the Bible, from beginning to end.
Maybe it would be better, before we commence the study of this subject, to gather up that which is clear of its history in the Church of Christ, and the thinking which encompassed it, until it became a permanent and final and unchangeable belief.
Christians in the time of the apostles, and even up to the 2nd century A.D., were not thinking of laying down a definite formula of Christian beliefs, seeing as they were adhering to these beliefs and practicing their principles as set forth in the Bible, without reducing them to definite unified doctrines. If problems or difficulties hindered them, they referred to the apostles and to their disciples who succeeded them.
However, when heresies arose, stirring up disagreements over some points, the most important being the status of Christ, or the coming of the Holy Spirit from the Godhead, there became an urgent need for the Church to state her views over these controversies, especially when the views of Sabellius and Arius were being spread abroad. The first held that in the one God there was no Trinity. The Word of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit were only theophanies and manifestations of God. The second declared that there was no equality. The Son and the Holy Spirit were not equal with the Father, as both were, according to his claims, created. Thus they were inferior to him, and the Father has made them in the likeness of his divine nature.
The Church rejected these views because they were contrary to the Bible, which teaches clearly that there never was a time when all three members of the Trinity did not exist. The Son was with the Father from eternity, as we read in Psalm 110, verse 1. The Lord says to my Lord, Sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. And in Psalm 16, verse 8, which was spoken in connection with the Son, I keep the Lord always before me, because he is always at my right hand, I shall not be moved. This passage is also referred to in Acts chapter 2, verses 25 through 28.
One from amongst the outstanding men of the Church, who combated the heresies and defended the faith, was Saint Athanasius, who confuted the heretical doctrines and issued the well-known Athanasian Creed, which we shall summarize here.
Number 1. Whoever desires salvation must, before everything else, abide by the universal faith of the Christian Church.
2. This universal faith is the worship of God, who is one in three and three in one.
3. We do not mingle the three, nor separate them in essence.
4. The Father is one, the Son is one, and the Holy Spirit is one. But the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are one in deity, and equal in glory, and eternal majesty.
5. As is the Father, so is the Son, and so is the Holy Spirit.
6. The Father is uncreated, the Son is uncreated, and the Holy Spirit is uncreated. They are not three uncreated, but one uncreated.
7. The Father is unlimited, the Son is unlimited, and the Holy Spirit is unlimited. They are not three unlimited, but one unlimited.
8. The Father is from eternity, the Son is from eternity, and the Holy Spirit is from eternity. They are not three from eternity, but one from eternity.
9. The Father controls all things, the Son controls all things, and the Holy Spirit controls all things, but they are not three controllers, but one.
10. The Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Spirit is God, but they are not three gods, but one God.
11. The Father is Lord, the Son is Lord, and the Holy Spirit is Lord, but they are not three lords, but one Lord.
12. Even as Christian truth commands us not to confess that each of the persons is by himself God or Lord, so also our religion forbids the saying that there exist three gods and three lords.
13. We have one Father, not three fathers, one Son and not three sons, one Holy Spirit and not three Holy Spirits.
14. Not one of these three persons existed before or after the other. Neither is one greater or less than the other. All three persons are eternal and equal.
15. Thus, from all that has been said, we must worship the one in three and the three in one.
16. The true faith is that we believe and assert that our Lord Jesus Christ is God from the essence of the Father, begotten from eternity, and that he is man from the nature of his mother, begotten in this age.
17. And he, though he is God and man, is one Christ, not two, and he became man not by changing his deity to humanity, but by blending humanity with deity.
Perhaps the question is asked, what is there to support this truth? And what is its basis? And what is the proof of its genuineness and certainty? And how did it attain this degree of influence, stability, and permanency in history?
The answer is that the principal and only support is the Bible. It is not possible for man, however great a thinker he may be, to comprehend the nature of God without an unveiling and a revelation from God himself. Whatever comes from outside the Bible, regarding the Trinity, a philosophic thinking or logical argument, is nothing but an explanation or exposition by means of analogy. Is it likely to be otherwise, seeing we are contemplating one of the most incomprehensible mysteries that man has ever faced?
What is quite certain is that the unity in the nature of God, which the Bible proclaims, and which is beyond all contention or argument, and the Old Testament as well as the New, has likewise testified to it, is a complete unity which unveils the nature of the Holy Trinity which Christians believe in.
Scholars in their study of this belief in the Bible have believed it and have firmly established it and have recorded it in the statutes of the Church. The most important of these is in the Nicene Creed of Faith, the text of which follows.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of the Father, before the worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not created, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us, under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he arose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end.
I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who spoke by the prophets. I believe in one holy, universal, and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
It is true, the Bible says, "The Lord our God is one God. I am the Lord. That is my name, and my glory will I not give to another." But it is also full of verses showing that in the person of God there is unity in plurality.
Also, from study of the holy books, we understand that God is spoken of as having certain characteristics, such as possessing hearing, sight, words, knowledge, will, and love, for he is a person. There is also a bond between him and his creatures, who have also these characteristics. It is sure that these qualities were not inoperative in eternity, that is, before he created man. This leads us to conclude that God used to exercise these qualities, and it is self-evident that such could only be between more than one intelligent person. This makes inevitable the existence of three persons in the unity of God.
There is no doubt that the one who meditates deeply on this Christian belief will discover the following facts.
1. That each of the three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, are given the titles and attributes of deity, and that each of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are worthy of honor and trust and worship.
2. It is clear from the Bible the Son is divine, even as the Father. Jesus said in the book of John, chapter 5, verse 23, that all may honor the Son, even as they honor the Father.
3. Also, the deity of the Holy Spirit is clear from the Bible text, even as the deity of the Father and the Son. God is Spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. The book of John, chapter 4, verse 24.
Also, when we study Christian doctrine, we see that the names of the Holy Trinity, that is, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, are not expressions of differing relationships between God and His creatures, such as is indicated in the terms Creator, or Guardian, or Benefactor. Though this is alleged by some, it is an assertion which is refuted here.
First, each of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit speak of themselves as I.
Second, each one, when speaking to the other directly, says, Thou, and indirectly, He.
Third, the Father loves the Son, and the Son loves the Father, and the Holy Spirit witnesses to the Son and glorifies Him.
Thus, the natural result of all these facts and Bible truths is that Christians have brought to the world their great doctrine, the doctrine of their belief in one God and the Holy Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Many may say that this teaching is beyond our comprehension, but such a statement does not elucidate Christian teaching, even as it does not elucidate scientific facts which are difficult to understand. We have to confess that our minds were not created to gauge what is possible or impossible concerning that which is beyond our comprehension.
The oneness of the three persons of the Trinity. Number 1, the oneness in deity. The scriptures given by the inspiration of God state concerning A, the Father, that He is God, our Father. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace. The second letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 2, verse 16.
B. The Son. Of the Son he says, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The righteous scepter is the scepter of thy kingdom. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8.
C. The Holy Spirit. Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? You have not lied to men, but to God. The book of Acts, chapter 5, verses 3 through 5.
Number 2. The Oneness in Lordship. A. About the Father, that he is Lord. In that same hour he, Christ, rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, I thank thee, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 1, verse 21.
B. About the Son, that he is Lord. You know the word which he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. The book of Acts, chapter 10, verse 36.
C. About the Holy Spirit. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. The second book to the Corinthians, chapter 3, verse 17.
Number 3. The Oneness in Eternity. A. The Father is eternal, the God of Daniel, for he is the living God, enduring forever. The book of Daniel, chapter 6, verse 26.
B. The Son is eternal. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come. Revelation chapter 1, verse 8.
C. The Holy Spirit is eternal. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? The book of Hebrews, chapter 9, verse 14.
Number 4. The Oneness in Their Omnipresence. A. The Father. One God and Father of us all, who is above all, and through all, and in all. The letter to the Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 6.
B. The Son. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 18, verse 20.
C. The Holy Spirit. Whither shall I go from thy Spirit? If I ascend to heaven, thou art there. And if I make my bed in Sheol, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there thy hand shall lead me. Psalm 139, verses 7 through 10.
Number 5. The Oneness in Their Worthiness of Worship. A. The Father. The hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The book of John, chapter 4, verse 20.
B. The Son. At the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. The letter to the Philippians, chapter 2, verses 10 through 11.
C. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit prepares believers to worship. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with sighs too deep for words. The book of Romans, chapter 8, verses 26 through 28.
Number 6. The Oneness in the Quality of Truth. A. The Father is truth. O Father, sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth. The Gospel according to John, chapter 17, verse 7.
B. The Son is truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. The Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 6.
C. the Holy Spirit is truth. Jesus said, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another counselor, to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. The Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 16 and 17.
Number 7. The oneness in the quality of love. A. The Father is love. Jesus said, For the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me, and believe that I came from the Father. The Gospel of John, chapter 16, verse 27.
B. The Son is love. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. The Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 14 and 15.
C. The Holy Spirit is love. God did not give us the spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power and love and self-control. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7.
Number 8. The oneness in holiness. A. The Father is holy. Jesus said in his prayer of intercession, Holy Father, keep them in thy name, which thou hast given me. The Book of John, chapter 17, verse 11.
B. The Son is holy. The angel said to Mary the Virgin, The Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called holy, the Son of God. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verse 35.
See, the Holy Spirit is holy. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, in whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. The letter to the Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 30.